Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Charavale Road is home to everything you need when it comes to shopping. Whether you need a quick bite, a new outfit, or just fancy buying a new book, Charavale Road has it all. Find out more at these selected local shops.
The Porter Bookshop offers a large selection of new and classic books with a great variety of subjects. We provide high quality books at reasonable prices and great customer service. Stop by for a browse or check us out online and on Facebook at The Porter Bookshop. The Porter Bookshop, where books are bought as well as sold.
Made by Jonty is a fine dining gem in Sheffield on the Charavale Road Foodie Mile. Choose a dish from the blackboard or enjoy a Jonty classic from the all-day breakfast menu. Pop in to enjoy restaurant quality food in a relaxed and friendly environment. High quality, locally sourced, good food. Find us on Charavale Road and on the Now Then discount app.
Suzu Ladies Fashion. We specialise in Log and Look European fashion. We cater for all sizes, stocking Sarah Santos, Nestlé, Bel Air Blue, NB, Dicelli and many more. Suzu Ladies Fashion. 0114 266 8427.
Charavale Road. The road that has it all.
Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insight and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office on 0114 285 9500 or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield. Made by you.
We're open for business live.
Good morning. It's just after 9 o'clock on Friday, the 28th of August. My name's Jamie Veitch. I'm your presenter for the next hour for Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise programme, Business Live. We're broadcasting on 93.2 FM and through our internet live stream. This show will also be available as a podcast later from the Sheffield Live website. Today's show was recorded yesterday, Thursday, the 27th of August. And in today's programme, we'll be talking about launching and growing a business in the food sector. Sheffield-based Savvy Spreads co-founder Jonathan Drury lifts the lid on Savvy's journey from launch, development, through growth and scaling up, and talks about their recent investment raise via a crowdfunding website through which they raised over £87,000, significantly more than their target of £50,000. Don't forget, you can still access last week's programme. We had interviews last week with Laura Bennett of the Sheffield Social Enterprise Network, with Sarah Hill of Opus Independence, with Johnny Pawlik of Mantra Media, Emma Tinsley of .925 Jewellery, Sammy Spark of Sammy Spark Photography, Hugh Mann Adamson of LTBL Productions, Jessica Gull of Steel City MUA, and Justin Rowntree of Silversmith's Restaurant. And you can find that on the Sheffield Live website. Before we turn to today's guest, some business news. Managers are still recruiting mini-me's, despite being aware of the hazards of unconscious bias, according to a CIPD study. The report, Ahead for Hiring, the Behavioural Science of Recruitment, found that bosses employ people with similar hobbies, experience, dress sense and mannerisms as themselves, despite the fact that these qualities have no bearing on a candidate's ability to do the job. Johnny Gifford, researcher at the Chartered Institute of Personnel and Development, said, "We all hear about unconscious bias in things like recruitment, but the fact is, we're not just biased, we're super biased." He added that what the report shows is both how easily our decision-making can be skewed and also in how many different ways it can be skewed, and said, if you're not recruiting for difference, you're going to have problems with diversity. And the findings show that unconscious bias becomes more pronounced as fatigue sets in, with confirmation bias and selective hearing creeping in as early as the fourth interview of the day. In a bid to help employers improve their hiring decisions, the CIPD has made a number of recommendations, including anonymising CVs when reviewing them, spreading assessments and decisions across a longer time period, and inviting people not involved in assessing stages to assist with final hiring decisions. The findings could also affect thousands of young graduates and school leavers who are about to enter the job market and will face recruiters from a different generation. Earlier this year, the Social Mobility and Child Poverty Commission criticised recruiters after its own research revealed that 70% of jobs for elite law, accountancy and financial services firms went to former students of selective state or fee-paying schools in 2014. That commission said at the time that employers were biased towards what they called posh candidates. And meanwhile, a report published in 2015, this year, by Business in the Community found that unconscious bias from recruiters is hampering the job prospects of people from black, Asian and minority ethnic backgrounds. If you want to read the new CIPD, Chartered Institute of Personnel and Development study, called Ahead for Hiring, the Behavioural Science of Recruitment, you can find it on the CIPD website at cipd.co.uk. Following the success of last year's inaugural Social Saturday, this year's Social Saturday, which is organised by Social Enterprise UK, will take place on the 10th of October. SE UK say they anticipate Social Saturday will be a true testament to the strength and influence of the social enterprise movement. Its aim is to raise awareness of just how easy it is to support businesses that trade quality items and services and invest their profits into projects supporting the local community, international development, the environment, charities and other progressive schemes. Find out more at socialsaturday.org.uk. A new investment platform has launched, and it's making an effort to boost opportunities for northern technology firms. North Invest is a not-for-profit mutual, and it's been founded by digital entrepreneur Adam Bowman. It aims to make it easier for the region's startups to access crucial early funding and business advice and support. It intends to connect angel investors with ventures in the north. And it says that some of these ventures have historically struggled to compete for cash against a more prominent digital community in London. MADE, the Entrepreneur Festival, has announced two further new speakers to its conference programme. MADE's taking place at Sheffield City Hall on the 22nd of October 2015. And the two new speakers announced this week are Dave Coplin, the Chief Envisioning Officer of Microsoft UK, and Paul Lindley of Ella's Kitchen and Paddy's Bathroom. Dave Coplin of Microsoft will provide an insight into the future of technology in business. He's going to demonstrate how we can reimagine how we live, work and do business. And Sheffield's own Paul Lindley will share his latest insight into establishing and growing a business, reflecting on his experience with Ella's Kitchen and Paddy's Bathroom to give some advice to business managers, leaders and entrepreneurs. Other speakers include JB Gill, the farmer, entrepreneur and former member of the boy band JLS, Annabel Carmel, an author and entrepreneur, Jude Ower, the CEO of Playmob, Jeff Ram, celebrity service author, Joe McEwen, the head of digital at Innocent Drinks, and many more. And the Entrepreneur Festival, MADE the Entrepreneur Festival, you can buy tickets and view the full programme, book your place at madefestival.com. A fast-growing telecoms business has already doubled its Sheffield office space only 10 months after moving in. XLN, which is a services provider to small business, took 14,000 square feet on a 10-year lease at One North Bank in September last year. It's now moved into an additional 14,000 square feet to occupy two floors of the state-of-the-art Riverside building. The company, which supplies services such as phones, internet and energy to small businesses, has seen significant growth in the last 12 months, and it made number 85 on the 2015 Sunday Times BDO Profit Track 100. We interviewed Christian Nellerman, who's the company's CEO and founder, last year. The Federation of Small Businesses, the FSB, has organised an opportunity for businesses to question Paul Blomfield, MP, on his views on a range of business issues, particularly focusing on his work on the Business Innovation and Skills Select Committee. Blomfield said he represents 115,000 people across the city and he wants to ensure everyone's voice is heard. The event organised by the FSB takes place at 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Thursday the 24th of September in the Marco Pierre White restaurant at the Hampton by Hilton Hotel. It's going to be a full English breakfast followed by Paul Blomfield's annual report and questions from the floor. The event's free to attend. Look it up on Eventbrite. If you go onto eventbrite.co.uk and search for Paul Blomfield MP Annual Business Conference, you'll find tickets there. And the Sheffield Business and IP Centre are running a beginner's guide to business information on Thursday the 17th of September from 1:30 till 3:30 p.m. The event, which is free to attend, invites anyone who's exploring a business idea and wants to know if there's a market for it, or wants to find out more about a particular competitor, supplier or potential customer to come along. They say the workshop will help you navigate the wealth of business information resources available in their Business and Intellectual Property Centre. Book your place by emailing information.library@sheffield.gov.uk or phoning 0114 273 4736. Now, we'd always welcome your views on the business and social enterprise news, what's going on here in Sheffield, regionally and nationally. You can get in touch with this programme, with Sheffield Live and with me by email on jamie@sheffieldlive.org, by text message to 07 904 272 200. Find Sheffield Live on Twitter at Sheffield Live. Find me at Jamie Veitch on Twitter too. Whether you're starting or whether you're running a business or a social enterprise, whether you're self-employed or if you're an employer, we're keen to hear from you. So let's turn now to this week's guest. Jonathan Drury is co-founder and director of Sheffield-based Savvy Spreads, and I met up with him earlier to talk about launching a food business. It's a competitive, highly competitive market. How did he launch the business, grow it, scale it, and how did Savvy overachieve on their crowdfunding campaign to attract new investors? They wanted £50,000. They achieved £87,000. We'll play the interview with Jonathan now. So, Jonathan, thanks very much for joining me today. We're talking about Savvy Foods and your recent crowdfunding campaign to develop the business. But before we talk about that, let's just tell our listeners a little bit about the history of Savvy Foods. First of all, what's the product?
Well, it's a healthy, some people refer to it as jam or a preserve, or we commonly refer to it as a spread. The unique thing about it is sweet, for a start. The unique thing is there's no added sugar and no oils. It's a complete food source. There's three in the range. There's a date one, and a chocolate one, and a honey one. And the thing that's in common with all three is they've all got tahini, which is pulped sesame, and a unique product called carob syrup. And we had difficulty obtaining carob syrup in the early days, but we got our import license, and as far as we know, we're the only UK importer of whole carob syrup.
Sort of really interesting story there, and we'll turn back to the story of the carob syrup in a moment. But tahini being a major ingredient, and plenty of people know of tahini, and tahini is often used in hummus as well. So you're using tahini in these sweet spreads. But sweet, as you say, with no added sugar. So really different, but very tasty. And I can vouch for that myself.
That's right. As we've shared it with people along the way, one of the first reactions we often get is, oh, it's got a nutty flavour. And that is the tahini. It is a nut. It's not sweet or savoury. It's one of those neutral things. And in Turkey, where I got the idea from, they mix tahini with sweet syrup, with fruit syrups, and that's where I got the idea from, and it's absolutely delicious.
Well, it tastes great. So let's turn then to where you got the idea. You got the idea in Turkey, but tell us more about that story.
Okay, so going back nearly 25 years ago now, spending a lot of time in Turkey. I love the environment, the atmosphere, the culture, particularly Northern Cyprus, which I found out is actually one of the major exporters of carob syrup, although it's gone downhill in latter years for various reasons. So just meeting with friends and family out there, not my family, but lots of different people, families have it, this dish of tahini and carob syrup. Generally throughout the day, it's like a nutritious, healthy boost, pick me up. It's like a dessert. They make a bowl of it and dip bread into it. And it's just one of those dishes where the family come around and get a little bit of, you know, coming together in a bit of sustenance to carry on the day. It's just a lovely, sweet whole way of eating together this dish. And I came back to the UK each time and always had difficulty finding particularly carob syrup. And there's one Turkish shop. As far as I know, there's only one shop in Sheffield that actually still sells carob syrup. And when we started experimenting, we had to buy, you know, we kept clearing the shelf.
Clearing the shelves of the carob syrup from that shop, yeah.
Yeah, but over the years, over all those years, I always managed to keep a bit in the house and shared it with the kids, and the kids always loved it, you know, and I knew it was healthy. So we just kept eating it, and it just went from there, really, up until a couple of years ago when it turned into a business idea.
So, like lots and lots of business ideas, this has come from a personal love for a product, and in your case, the taste of this lovely thing that you were eating when you were visiting Turkey, when you were abroad, and that you were then making for fun and for the family, and then it turned into a business idea 2 years ago. So what was the spark then that made you think, actually, there's more than just making this for myself and my family. Other people want it too, and we can sell this.
Yeah, well, there's a bit of a romantic slant to it. And I met Katie 7 or 8 years ago, and I gave her a jar of it, and she absolutely loved it. And we shared it over the years, and then it was her idea just 2.5-3 years ago. Basically, I did my fine art degree in Sheffield, and as a mature student, I came out of there and I got work teaching art privately and various bits and bobs, website design, you know, creative stuff. And then the government cuts came in, and I'm resourceful and I look around for ideas. And it was Katie that really pushed me into saying, look, you've been sitting on this product, we use it. We're sitting on it all these years. It's a fantastic thing. Other people like it. There's nothing like it. Let's do it. So scratching our heads a bit. And then the Enterprise Challenge thing appeared.
Which we've talked about actually on this programme a couple of times. And in fact, we've had Hannah Lister, and we've had other Enterprise Challenge businesses. So that came up. Sorry, carry on.
Yeah, so we thought, oh, what a great idea, because there's all this free mentoring and sessions with professionals in different areas that you can get as part of the process putting a business plan together. And the whole competition is about how strong your business idea is, how enterprising you are. So we thought, a great opportunity to consolidate all our ideas and get all this free advice and everything. And we ended up coming second. It was a lot of late nights doing the plan. But on the night when we'd been through the whole process, maybe 9 months, and then there's the awards night, and we had to give a speech without notes, 2-minute speech to this room of 200 dignitaries, and we did it. It was very nerve wracking, and then they voted us second place, so we got kicked off with £2,500, so that really gave us an encouraging start.
A great encouraging start, and of course a massive presence in front of all those people as well.
Yeah, that's right. And there's obviously Sheffield's been a real support for us, because there's so many people, creative people, and people open to new ideas. And lots of good health food shops that were happy to get us on their shelves, and that's, you know, obviously this is where it started.
Indeed. So the Enterprise Challenge proved to be a really excellent springboard for you. Sheffield then, a lot of interest locally. So tell us what happened then since the Enterprise Challenge, before up to launching the crowdfunding campaign, which we're going to talk about, which you've done this year.
So
how did you first of all get the product into shops and into suppliers?
Well, first of all, we made sure that we had plenty of stock, and at that time we were making it at Regather, the cooperative down in Sharrow, and it was a great place to incubate us. Brilliant kitchen facilities there we hired, and then basically just turning up at health food shops. You know, even the prestigious Wicker Herbal in town, he said to give it a go.
Yeah.
And just Natural and Zeds and Beanies, you know, all of our local favourite health food shops, they all said, yeah, we'll take some of that. And we found it sold.
Yep.
So the idea was to get it into about 30 shops nationwide. So we just cold called.
Yes.
Said we've got this new product and we won a prize for the idea, etc. The idea was to get it into so many shops, and then we got a case to go to the wholesalers and the distributors, which we did.
Because by that point, you were already in a number of shops and you're getting feedback. In other words, you've got it in the shops, and sounds like once you've got it in a shop, people are buying it and coming back and buying it again.
Yeah, that seemed to be the case and still does. And of course, we did a lot of farmers markets and fairs and trade shows and stuff as well.
Yeah.
And the following's just built. And now we're with five different wholesale distributors.
So one of those is Suma.
Suma Whole Foods.
Yeah, Suma Whole Foods, yeah. And the process then of working with wholesalers means you're scaling up. Did you always manage to keep up with demand?
Actually, no. That's why we got in touch with a Yorkshire jam factory up north near York, jams and marmalades. And he's been in the business a long time, and he does contract manufacture. So we said, you know, have you got space in your diary to produce our Safi spreads? And he said, yeah, be a pleasure. And so we were then shipping ingredients to him, and I went up on the first day and watched the first jar of Savvy coming off the factory line. It was just a really fantastic moment. To have like five or six different people in the whites, you know, the white coat and hat and everything at different points along the production line. And all these people suddenly are working for Savvy.
Working on your product. Yeah. I mean, and it's incredible that. I mean, I've worked in a food factory like that myself. And the scale is incredible, and it must have been really, really satisfying to
really
see it.
Really satisfying, yeah.
And you've gone from this fantastic local kitchen in Regather, the co-op here in Sheffield, and then to go to this factory.
And to see it, to be part of pouring all these tubs and tubs of ingredients into these like 100 kilo vats, and then watching it go through these jarring machines, and what used to take me, I don't want to think now how long the hand filling used to take me, but I think he did on the first run. We did 5,000 in the morning, and they were that's including warming, getting through the pipes, and the making process, and then right through to the jarring, the labelling, putting into the trays of six, shrink wrapping, and then stacking onto a pallet. And so, two pallets we had of nearly 5,000 jars
in the first morning. And that would have taken you a lot longer.
Yeah.
People don't like to think about it. So then that enables you to go for scale, to work with wholesalers, to get Savvy spread out to more and more shops, to go nationwide, and, of course, to go beyond nationwide as well.
Yeah, that's right. We are in an interesting point in the story of the business. I've been using the garage here for storage, but that's changed now, and we've actually got some other premises where we store it, and we go, and there's still some here, as you can see behind me, which is where we send out samples and small local orders from.
Yes,
it's a bit easier and cheaper. But I have sent out 90 trays to Romania 3 or 4 weeks ago, and we've just had a report that it's selling very well over there, and that was a distributor that deals with the supermarkets. There's been some sent out to Ireland, and I've sent samples to different countries as well with help from UKTI and a freelance export guy.
Yes, so this is going to open up an enormous new market as well, worldwide, on top of UK. So let's talk then, before we turn to the crowdfunding, let's just talk about getting hold of the carob. It's the carob paste, is that right?
It's carob syrup.
Carob syrup, sorry.
Yeah.
That you need. And we think then that you're the only importer of carob syrup in the UK.
It was really difficult to get it. There's one Turkish company that brings it in, but only every few months and very small amounts. So it was a logical step for us to get the carob syrup in. But what we really want to do, we're getting a better relationship with the supplier now in Turkey. And we're actually planning to go out in October to look at where it's made. And, long-term plans are actually really get involved in the growing and the making process of it. We'd love to make it here, but it's just one of those things which comes in a natural progress of growing the business.
And it's a lovely product, carob, and some listeners might be familiar with it because for some people who can't or don't or won't eat chocolate, carob has been a substitute. But it should by no means be seen as simply a sort of worthy health food product, because it is a tasty, delicious thing in its own right as well. But the fact that you're using this as an ingredient and no added sugar in your spread must be a very positive thing for people who are really careful about sugar and careful about additives and so on.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, there's a... It seems almost by the hour at the moment this anti-sugar thing is growing and people are getting more and more aware of the dangers of it, which is fantastic, and we really think that that's important. I think one of the interesting challenges for us is to understand how natural sugars differ from refined sugars, and of course anything taken in too much amount can be bad for you. And there's agave was a fad a year or two ago. In fact, we noticed, because we've got agave in our spreads because it's a natural sweetener. But there's so much fear about sugar now. Even fructose, even natural sweeteners have been affected. So luckily, we are adaptable. We are adaptive, and we can change the recipe if we want to. Carob is naturally sweet. Yes. As is date syrup. Dates are naturally sweet. It's a fruit, and we'll never be able to say no. We're not going to ever eat anything that's sweet ever again, because that's ridiculous. But if we can, what we're trying to do is just offer something that's sweet but healthy at the same time.
Yes.
And carob is healthy. It's got a lot of calcium, magnesium, potassium, vitamin B in it. It's got no caffeine in it like cocoa. It was known as a substitute, a chocolate substitute, and it is still useful for that, but it's a completely different product to cocoa and cacao.
Yes, quite. Yeah. So you're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live. We're broadcasting on 93.2 FM and from sheffieldlive.org. My name's Jamie Veitch, and I'm talking today with Jonathan Drury of Savvy Foods and Savvy Spreads. And Jonathan has been outlining the story behind Savvy and the spreads made with tahini and in different flavours, including chocolate and including date flavour. And the third flavour is, of course, honey and carob as well. And we've just been talking about importing carob syrup to use in the spreads. But let's turn now, Jonathan. We've talked about the history of Savvy and coming through the Sheffield Hallam University's Enterprise Challenge, the support there, and going from Regather, a kitchen in Regather, the cooperative in Sheffield, to finding a supplier to actually manufacture the product for you. But this year, you've been a major success on the crowdfunding platform Crowdcube, where you posted up a business plan for development of Savvy and expansion of Savvy and sought investors to take equity stakes through Crowdcube. And you were seeking £50,000 and actually achieved £87,000 in investment. You must have been absolutely thrilled to see the appetite, yeah, if you don't mind me using the word, the appetite for Savvy.
Yeah, it seems like a bit of a dream sometimes. We have to pinch ourselves. But when you think about the amount of hours that we put into really stringently researching every single point that we're making in our plan and the whole, you know, market research, and then Crowdcube, part of the process, they're regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority.
Yes, the FCA, yeah.
So every tiny little thing that we said in the plan had to be legally verified. And I think there was 40 points they brought up, but there's only two of them that they were a bit dubious. Like, I said I'd been talking to Waitrose. Well, actually, it was only a couple of emails, so that had to go because I'd literally been talking to them. But, yeah, we did the plan, and we made the video with Joe Binks in Sheffield.
Yeah.
And we decided to sell 10% of the company. 50,000. They valued us at $500,000, which was shocking itself.
So you know, Crowdcube did that
analysis. Yeah. They did it twice. I asked them to go back because I was a bit more, even more ambitious than that.
Yeah.
And you know, I'll probably push my luck a little bit, but they said no. They did actually analyze it again, and they said we'll leave it at $500,000 because you've got more chance of hitting your target then.
Yeah.
And it's an all or nothing process with Crowdcube.
Indeed. In other words, if you don't get the investment you've asked for, if you'd reached £40,000against your £50,000 target, in actual fact, you'd have got none of that. You'd have got nothing.
So. Yeah, absolutely. I also got to mention that in between getting the prize money for the competition and launching the Crowdcube campaign, we got a couple of private investors, two local guys. One I actually met in a cafe when I was doing the tasting.
Yes.
He liked it and he just said, oh, I've got some money I'll put into that. And then another chap. So, you know, that kicked us off. We sold a bit of equity there. And then.
So you brought in private investors really on the strength of the products and people loving the product.
Yeah.
But then Crowdcube has, as you say, you've gone through significant amounts of due diligence in terms of them verifying everything in the business plan. Yeah. Going back and again, giving an independent valuation, and then of course using their platform, using the Crowdcube platform to get investors, and you've closed your investment round, having hit £87,000, having asked for 50. So, what's the investment for in terms of developing Savvy?
Well, in our cash flow forecasting, we identified three particular areas where we need cash to grow, and these are new product development. Just looking at the product, it is really versatile, and there are so many different formats that we can want. Now we've got the cash that we can put it into, and it's not just a spread for sandwiches or stirring into your porridge or crackers. There's other formats. I'm not going to say much about that. One other area is to get obviously staff support. So we're working close with Business Sheffield at the moment, and they're helping us with the structure of the business, and we're carving out a new role for a new staff member. What have I said?
So, first of all, staff and staff development, and focusing on that, and then we're talking about expansion of. Of the product range beyond spreads.
And then marketing.
So investing in marketing too.
Yeah, because this is a big challenge to get a new product out there.
Yeah.
To get the awareness of it. You know, this intense competition. So we've got to obviously, we've dabbled a little bit in advertising, which isn't always, I don't think it's the best thing to spend your money on.
You've got to be really careful that you measure the return that you get on that. Investment in marketing and in advertising particularly, and it's shocking how many businesses don't actually measure it, but if you do measure it, you can evaluate whether it's working or not.
And obviously when it's public information now that we've got that money, and we are getting a lot of calls from companies, some very useful,
I'm sure,
but some, you know, magazines, you know, that want you to pay for advertising that isn't really appropriate. So you have to be quite, you know, ruthless and commercially minded.
Well, this is it in terms of growing the business. You're in a position where you've you've got options beyond what the investment was going to be, because you've been so successful, you got more investment than you thought. But
yeah,
that presents great opportunities.
It does, yeah, and it can be a bit overwhelming because we're both creative and we're both fine art graduates. And
yes.
Good creative minds. And
when we say we're both, just make clear we're talking about Kate here again, your partner and your business
partner.
She's
my wife now, yeah, we got married.
Yeah, so
recently.
So yeah. Kate is your wife and also business partner.
Katie, yeah.
Katie, she... We've talked in the past with people who are in business with family members, in business with their wife or in business with their husband. It must mean though that you can never stop talking or thinking about the business.
Yeah, we like to think we're disciplined.
But do you manage to get it's quality time together as well?
No, the really weird thing is, we decided more than once that we'd cut off at 6 or 7 o'clock and we wouldn't talk about business over dinner. Or, we come up with these rules but then just two nights ago we sat down in the lounge room relaxing and Katie said to me, "So tell me about your meeting today."
Yes.
At Business Sheffield. And it was a great meeting. So I just couldn't shut up. Oh, fantastic. We relaxed. She's listening. Perfect. Yeah. And we actually had an impromptu business meeting, which was enjoyable.
Yes. And this is it. I mean, it's for those of us in business, it should be enjoyable running our own business. And so you're naturally going to want to carry on talking about it. But sometimes you do need to take some time away and talk about that. And the discipline, so we're talking about Savvy, and those listeners who've not tasted your spreads and would like to can of course go to local health food shops. So Zed's, you've mentioned, on the Edge, in Nether Edge.
Well, try not to miss any out, but you can get it online on our SavvySpreads.com website as well. But so there's Zed Whole Foods, Wicker Herbal in Surrey Street near the library.
Yeah.
Incredible Nutshell down in Healy, who've got a new measurement recently. Just Natural at Crooks, Beaches at Walkley, Beanies at Walkley. There's Nab Farm Shop just around the corner from us here on Montrose Road, Cartonhole. I think that might be it for Sheffield.
Yeah. And take a look, of course, at the website as well, which is SavvySpreads.com to find out more. We'll finish then, Jonathan, if we may, with, I suppose, tips and advice for anyone else whose business has established and they're looking at crowdfunding as a potential source to help them scale, to help them develop the business. It's obviously a process which is rigorous. If you work with someone like Crowdcube, they go through all sorts of due diligence. Now, what do you think it was about your business plan, about your video that you had locally made, as you say, about the way you presented yourselves or anything else that made Savvy so attractive to investors? And what tips would you offer anyone who's thinking of crowdfunding?
Well, I did a little bit of reading up successful pitching to investors.
Yes.
And there's a lot of resources on YouTube and out there on the internet, and you don't have to pay for a little course in how to do it. You don't have to read too much. Just pick up tips, what jumps out at you, and make a few notes. And the biggest thing, what I really kind of try to stick with, is to be exciting and keep making it sound exciting, which it is. So make it sound exciting then,
So communicate how you're obviously going to be really excited about your own product.
Yeah.
Be excited about it. Communicate that and show people how exciting it is.
Yeah. And then when you've got their interest, then you can show them that you've done your homework and you've got a really professional and viable business plan.
Yeah.
And people who we showed the plan to, down at Business Sheffield, they said, well, before we went on Crowdcube, they said this is a win-win for any investor.
Yeah. So I suppose it's a case of by the time you got onto Crowd Cube.
That's a good one.
Crowd Food. Yes, that would be, wouldn't it?
You heard it, yeah.
You've already gone through due diligence. You've had Crowd Cube do an independent valuation. They've unpicked your business plan. They've questioned you upon it. Mm. Even before you approach them, get other people to go through your business plan with you, unpick it, ask you all the difficult questions that they need to. Because investors and potential investors are going to ask lots of questions, and you need to be anticipate those, be able to answer them as well.
Particularly on the money.
Yeah.
And Katie's the spreadsheets wizardess. Yeah. She's fantastic, and that's been a really great working professional relationship we've had. But try and look out there for the other support as well, because you know, the Enterprise Centre at the uni and Business Sheffield, you can have as many hours as you want with professionals.
So you've obviously found those to be really, really useful.
Yeah, there's more than enough support out there. We found
actually
you can get too much,
but use it.
And so when you go live and the investors start asking you questions about numbers, just keep calm. And you know, with a calculated response and a polite response, and then you know what you're talking about, and you know, there's no hiding anything. There's no trying to pull the wool over anyone's eyes or anything like that. It's like, obviously it's all about risk, and the Crowd Cube, they're always saying
they make that very clear.
About,
yeah,
you know, your money is at risk investing. Yes. That's what it is. And one thing one of them told me was, There's a little saying in investing that there's only one thing that's certain, is that the numbers aren't certain. They're assumptions.
They are.
So you have this vision. You do as much work as you can. We can't tell the future, but we've tested it. You know, it's got some traction. And then, you know, with all the best will in the world, we'll try and make investors' money grow, and that's all we can do.
Quite. Well, Jonathan, thank you so much for that and sharing the savvy story and your tips there.
You.
What's your favourite of the spreads then at the moment?
It's strange you should ask me that, because I've just had some chocolate and some date and different pieces of bread.
Delicious they were. I can attest to that.
I really can't decide at the moment, but I would say probably the chocolate one. For the last few days, I've been eating more of the chocolate one. But the date's the best seller, and that's probably why it won that taste award.
Yes.
Yorkshire's finest preserve.
Superb. Well, tastes delicious. So we've got date, we've got chocolate, we've also got honey, Caribbean honey.
Yeah.
Go out there if you're listening, have a taste of Savvy Spreads. Get them in good health food shops in Sheffield, and look them up on the Savvy website at Savvy Spreads.
Ocado from October as well.
Ocado as well from October. Superb. Jonathan Jury, Savvy Spreads, thanks very much for joining me today.
Thank you very much.
Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield. Made by you.
Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insight and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office on 0114 285 9500 or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
We're open for Business Live.
You're listening to Business Live, Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise discussion programme with me, Jamie Veitch. We're broadcasting on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM and from sheffieldlive.org. Today's programme was recorded yesterday, Thursday the 27th of August. You've just heard The Jam playing A Town Called Malice, and before that we heard an interview with Jonathan Drury, co-founder and director of Sheffield-based Savvy Spreads. Jonathan was talking about launching the business, growing the business and securing investment into the business on Crowdcube. Recently, he secured £87,000 to develop and support the business's growth. If you've only just tuned in and you missed that, don't worry, because you can find the podcast of today's show on the Sheffield Live website later on today. Go to sheffieldlive.org, click on Radio Shows, Podcast, Business Live, find it there. Now, last week I went along to a relaunch event for the Sheffield Social Enterprise Network, popular, busy event, lots of people there, and I talked with one of the coordinators of the network, Laura Bennett, and one of the delegates, one of the attendees, Sarah Hill, who runs several social enterprises here in the city. If you missed the event last week, and if you missed last week's interviews, we're going to give you a chance to catch up with those, and we're going to play the interviews with Laura and then with Sarah right now. Laura, good evening. Thanks for joining me to talk about the Sheffield Social Enterprise Network. Not really a relaunch, more a reinvigoration.
Exactly.
And what a reinvigoration. How many people came along?
I think between 50 and 60 people, so we're very pleased with the turnout.
Certainly it was buzzing, and venue probably couldn't have held any more people.
I don't think so, no. We've had it at the lovely Fusion Cafe, itself a social enterprise.
Delicious food, yep. Really, really nice atmosphere tonight. Everyone very, very interested in the network. And you've told people who came along about the network and its four pillars, but perhaps you can tell listeners, what are the four pillars of the Sheffield Social Enterprise Network?
Absolutely, yeah. So we're really led by our members, and our four pillars are around making connections. That's the first one. So we're currently doing that by supporting the Social Enterprise Social, which is a well-established social event for people working in the social enterprise sector in Sheffield. But really, we're looking to arrange events to bring people together, like this evening, in the room, have some great, good quality conversations. A second pillar is becoming better informed. So we want to be a central point of contact for social enterprises in Sheffield. At the moment, we're doing that through our monthly newsletter. We've also got a LinkedIn group, if you search for Sheffield Social Enterprise Network on LinkedIn. Really sort of kind of get the best of all of the wealth of knowledge in people's heads working in social enterprise in Sheffield. The third pillar is around sharing experiences. So everyone working in this sector faces similar challenges, has similar successes. We want to bring everyone together to share those experiences and learn from each other. And then the fourth pillar is about having a stronger voice. So by coming together across Sheffield, working in social enterprise, we can really present a united voice to the City Council, to the government, to the LEPs, etc.
So that collaborative approach in terms of strength fits the programme today's radio programme as well, which is all about business collaboration in action as well. And the other three pillars collectively are really going to strengthen the sector, strengthen social enterprise. So what's next then? How can listeners who've heard about the Sheffield Social Enterprise Network, couldn't perhaps make it along to the event, but how can they get involved in the network?
Well, the first point of call is our brand new website. So that's www.sen, which is SSEN.org.uk. If you go on there, you'll be able to sign up to our newsletter and join as a member. We've got a short membership form to get information about what you're up to in social enterprise in Sheffield, what you can offer the network, what you're hoping to gain from the network. We'll also be putting on events. Our next event is the 29th of October. The format of these events is going to be about bringing people together for networking, but also around sharing experiences, having some educational workshops, making them really useful for the members.
That's great. So get involved, go to the website, sign up. Do you want to give the website address out again, Laura?
Yeah, that's www.ssen.org.uk. And we're also on Twitter as ChefSen, ShefFESN, S-E-N.
Superb. Laura Bennett talking about Sheffield Social Enterprise Network. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Sarah, hi, good evening. Welcome back onto Sheffield Live. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, hi, thank you.
So we're at the SSEN launch. What do you think of the state of social enterprise in Sheffield at the moment?
I think it's one of the most vibrant sectors that the city's got, to be honest. I've never been to a city where there are so many different social enterprises and so many people really interested in the concept of social enterprises and kind of taking that forward as a group as well and working very collaboratively rather than competitively. I think it's in a brilliant state, although we always need more funding.
Yep, this is true. So collaboration being something you've mentioned, one of the pillars of the network that Laura's mentioned as well. Sheffield's good at that.
Yeah, Sheffield's great at that. The only place that Sheffield falls down doing that, I think, is little pockets of people across the city working really collaboratively together with no idea what people on the other side of the city are doing, which is why I think the network has got so much potential, really, because it covers the whole city. And then you can look up outside of the kind of small group of people that you work with and realise that your small group of people can work with all these other small groups of people that are around the city. And together we're a big group of people who are all trying to make a positive difference in the city. So hopefully coming together, that difference will multiply.
Yeah, real multiplier effect going on. And cross-city, as you say, really important. And you're involved in numerous social enterprises. You're currently director of 4 social enterprises. Do you want to just run us through those?
Well, the first one is Opus Independence Limited. We're an arts-based social enterprise. We publish Now Then magazine. We run a distribution service. We do live literature events and a lot of bespoke kind of digital projects. We work with people like Dockfest and Off the Shelf Festival. Mesters Works is a space in Neep's End, which used to be a spring factory, used to be the office block of a spring factory, and we've repurposed it. We're letting it out at lowest possible cost to support other social enterprises and artists and creative space in the city. Mesters Events is an events company, funnily enough, you can tell, and we work at a number of festivals around the city, and we're working on several kind of community-based festivals for next year, so watch this space, there'll be some more announcements then. And Peace in the Park, which hopefully is a name that everyone knows, is also a social enterprise, which a lot of people might not know. And we will be back on the 11th of June 2016 for our usual fun and games on the Ponderosa.
Fun and games indeed. And so in your experience, what are the biggest challenges social enterprises face? And can the new network, the SSEN network, well, not new, but we've heard about re-energised network. Can network support you and can support social enterprises like yours in overcoming challenges?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think the network can support us. I think, you know, the major problem facing pretty much any enterprise is capacity and funding, two things that are intrinsically linked, obviously. I think there's a challenge in getting large organisations and statutory organisations to recognise the potential of social enterprises and the extra things that social enterprises bring to the table in terms of tenders with the City Council and the NHS and that kind of thing. I think encouraging people to really value that social impact is a big challenge, and I think that having a network that brings all of that information together will hopefully help us put that case forward much more strongly.
That's great. Sarah, thank you.
Thank you.
We're open for Business Live.
You're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live with me, Jamie Veitch, broadcasting on 93.2 FM and from sheffieldlive.org across Sheffield and the world. Today's show, we've heard from Jonathan Drury, co-founder and co-director of Savvy Spreads, talking about launching and growing the business. And you've just heard two interviews recorded last week at the Sheffield Social Enterprise Network event. If you've only just tuned in and you've missed the interview with Jonathan or the interviews with Laura or Sarah, don't worry, you can find today's show as a podcast on the Sheffield Live website later on today. So that's it for this week's programme. Thanks very much for tuning in, and we'll be back next Friday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. So please tune in again then. Remember, you can contact me, jamie@sheffieldlive.org, text 07904 272 200, find me on Twitter at Jamie Veitch, find Sheffield Live on Twitter too at Sheffield Live. And if you're starting or running a business or a social enterprise, whether you're self-employed, we're always keen to hear from you. So we'll be back next week. Thanks again for tuning in. We're going to play out now with a track of music, which is Beth Gibbons and Rustin Man, Sand River.